Welcome to Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford. Today on Triad Arts Weekend, are you ready for the country? Because it's time to go with the exciting family music of Farmer Jason. We'll hear his new CD, Nature Jams, with friends like Iris DeMint, Hank Williams III, the Victor Wooten family, and Tommy Ramone. Jason Ringenberg, you know, from Jason and the Scorchers, is coming to the Milton Road Center in Winston-Salem tonight. Then we'll follow the slave trade route from Africa through the Caribbean and back again with music and dance of rebellion and resistance, courtesy of the E. Gwen Dancers of North Carolina A&T State University. And last but not least, it's everything you ever wanted to know about percussion ensembles but were afraid to ask, with John Beck and a day of percussion at the University of North Carolina School of the Arts. The guy just doesn't miss a beat. Next on Triad Arts Weekend.
Can you canoe?
Throughout the 80s, Jason Ringenberg pioneered the fusion of punk rock and country as frontman for the Country Hall of Fame band Jason and the Scorchers. Today, he's inspiring children to appreciate nature through song as Farmer Jason. His family music recordings have won a slew of major awards, including Disney, Parents' Choice, and the Los Angeles Times. And now you and your family can hear Farmer Jason live in concert on Friday, March 30th at 7 o'clock in the Milton Road Center for the Arts in Winston-Salem. Jason will be featuring songs from his new recording, Nature Jams, out on the My Kazoo label, dedicated purely to family music, and will be sampling from the CD throughout the program. Last month, Jason spoke with me by phone from his farm in Bonacqua, Tennessee, just west of Nashville. Starting off with Can You Canoe, it's a perfect blend. After Deliverance and the famous bumper sticker, it seems like that banjo canoe together really works, and some great picking.
Yeah, Allison is, she's a banjo genius, and I just couldn't resist saying those little one-liners. I just couldn't, Keep paddling, Allison.
Rolling down a river is a crazy thing to
take
do.
A hike. And I guess I should say, as an umbrella for all these tunes, great production, so much involved in it, but just love the guitar opening in this tune.
Yeah, actually, Warner Hodges from the Scorchers played that guitar part.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah.
What a fantastic guitarist. Yeah, amazing sound and just the energy.
Special.
The way this opens, as some of these do, I mean, it's disorienting in a good sort of way. I'm almost all set for a great top 10 hit right off the charts here.
Well, I won't argue with you if that happens, David. Boots and tied him up tight.
Because it's the perfect day for going on a hike. Bayou Boogie was one of my personal favorites, I got to say. Nice, relaxed feel. What a great voice, Terrence Simeon. And I love what he says, allons, let's go, getting into the tune.
Yeah, Terrence and me had a big time. It was just pure fun. It was pure joy. We never met. But, sometimes people just get on, and we just got on, and they're like, we were old friends, went out afterwards and had some shrimp jambalaya and all that.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hey, I have a song that I wrote about bayous, and I'm wondering if maybe you could sing it with me and maybe play a little accordion, too, because you're a great accordion player.
Oh, Jason, that would be so much fun. I'd love to do that.
Let's have to it right now, then.
Allons.
Iris DeMint on a track here, and she sounds like she's done this sort of work before. What a nice introduction, and the tune's a real journey, lots of styles.
Yeah, Iris is one of the finest singers of our generation in the Americana world, without a doubt, and yeah, she nailed it.
Prairie Riddle, see if you can guess the answers fast and true. Make your mind work like a plow. Prairie Riddle.
You guys have a great vocal harmony throughout that, too, I got to say. Really nice blending of colors again.
Yeah, she's a good harmony singer. I mean, she did the harmony part, and, it's a deceptively difficult harmony part for her to do on that one. She did an excellent job.
And a little storytelling coming up next with Buffalo or Bison and Webb Wilder, and hilarious, a real poetic ode to Buffalo or Bison.
Yeah, Webb just did that on the spot. I said, man, it'd really be cool to have you just kind of go off on one of your Webb, rants, which he does. And he called me back 15 minutes later with it all done.
Shaggy beasts who love to feast on grass that they are grazing. They chew their cud, I tell you, bud, grazing doesn't faze them. They'll munch a bunch for snacks and lunch, then have some more for dinner. They went green before it was keen. They're eco-friendly winners. Cows and bulls.
I'm a huge Victor Wooten fan, and you all have collaborated in the past. What a funky intro. No place like the woods. And a great interest to some wonderful storytelling.
Yeah, Victor's he's a great talent. There's no question about that. And, you know, we're actually friends. Our families are friends. So it was a fun thing to do with Victor and his kids.
Hello there, everybody. Mr. Wooten is my name. I'm a friend of Farmer Jason, so listen close to what I'm saying. I'm going to take you on a journey, one you'll never regret, to a magical place, a place you'll never forget. It's called the woods.
The woods?
That's right, the woods. Put on your jackets and lace up your shoes. We're going to take a little...
The Moose Lives Where with Todd Snyder and Joe Nesbo and Take 13, a hilarious look back and forth between you and Todd. I can hear the smile in your voice in that one.
Well, with Todd, I definitely didn't and never script that one. You just get in there and see what happens. With Todd Snyder, stuff just happens around him, and that was one of those things that just happened. He was brilliant.
And it just so happens I have a song about a moose right here in my pocket.
That's just too crazy.
This is just
too
wild.
Crazy. What's this, a microphone? Wow.
We're ready to rock.
I have a feeling I know what's about to happen.
Well, let's sing a song right now called The Moose Lives Where. The moose likes to live where the water runs cold,
like Montana or Minnesota.
Well, you go from that hilarious tune to it really sounds like a country classic right off the bat there with Brandi Carlile and Have You Ever.
Yeah, Brandi, you know, I'm a big fan of hers, and I've met her once or twice on the road, and my kids are fans, and it was a big honor to get her on the record. Brandi Carlile has dropped dead something special. She's, you know, she is really one of the finest singers of her generation.
Have you ever stared into a starry sky? Lying on your back, you're asking why? What's the purpose, I wonder, who am I? If you've ever stared into a starry sky.
And then you ended up with the track 16, a real anthem, Goodbye, skating along there with the trio there, Christy Rose, Addie, and Camille Ringenberg. So you've got your kids on the album.
I did, yeah, two of my daughters. And that's always fun, you know. I have a great gig, David, to be able to bring my own children on a record. That's pretty cool stuff.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Wow, our skates can really fly.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Wow, our skates can really fly.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This song is sounding rather dry.
So coming to Winston-Salem and putting on this show, what can we expect? Put us in that that auditorium for a minute, Jason, and could you describe the scene?
The Farmer Jason shows are really spontaneous because it's just me. There's no, it's like no backing tracks, no band or anything like that. So it's just me and the kids. So you never quite know exactly what's going to happen and how things are going to work. But it's always very spontaneous and very, very interactive with the audience. And, you know, the kids get involved with it, dance and sing and whatnot and participate. It's, you know, you get that many kids in one place. Man, it's a hoot.
That's Farmer Jason. He spoke with me last month by phone from his farm in Bon Aqua, Tennessee, just west of Nashville. Throughout today's show, we've been sampling from Jason's brand spanking new CD, Nature Jams. It's out on the My Kazoo label. But this week, you can hear Jason live in concert right here in the Triad. It's one night only at the Milton Road Center for the Arts in Winston-Salem, Friday, March 30th at 7 o'clock. And you'll find links to ticket information and more at wfdd.org/triadarts. You're listening to Triad Arts Weekend on 88.5 WFDD, your NPR News and Triad Arts station from Wake Forest University. I'm David Ford.
In the art,
The E-Gwen Dancers of North Carolina A&T State University are gearing up for their annual Spring Dance Concert Saturday, March 31st at 7:30 in Harrison Auditorium. The International Dance Extravaganza is titled Follow the Sugar Cane, Dances of Survival. You'll find links to more information at wftd.org/triadarts. Last week, founding artistic director Dr. Eleanor Gwynn, A&T dance professor Melanie Dalton, and dance student Tristan Bailey dropped by WFTD to talk dance.
My first idea came this past summer when I was a participant in a seminar in Salvador de Bahia, Brazil. And I sat through many lectures on different topics and several on slavery, but never did anyone talk about slave resistance. It was all about the slaves as slaves, but not ever rebelling against slavery. Until I went to a capoeira class that was taught by someone who had just come back from Angola.
Capoeira?
That's a fighting or martial art kind of dance, and it's called a dance or a play to mask the fact that it really is about fighting and resistance and rebellion. And it's very physical, very active, and you're constantly trying to protect yourself so that you don't get hit by the other person. And so when the slave owners came around, they thought they were just dancing or playing. They didn't know that they were really preparing for resistance or rebellion. So I didn't give up on Brazil. I said, I'm not giving up on Brazil. But that was the start of it. And then I went to Jamaica for a month with my students. And our first lecture was on slave resistance. Slave rebellion, you know. And I thought, oh, okay. So it all started coming together in my head. And it was just in those moments that I said, this is what the spring concert is going to be about. It's going to be about dances that have been able to stay alive through all of these years, even though they were slaves, even though there was slave resistance. And I think that that resistance is what brought the need to hold on to your culture out of people.
Who are some of the artists you're going to be bringing in to interface with the students?
We brought in Kevin Moore from Jamaica, and Kevin was one of our teachers in Jamaica last summer. And I liked the way he taught traditional dance. I liked his spirit. We brought in Gustavo Casaldes, who is a native of Salvador, and he's only been in this country a short time. And he came down and did capoeira. He introduced them to the berimbau, this instrument. So that was a good experience. And then the third person was Jamila McMillan. And ironically, Jamila was a student of mine years ago, and she started dancing with a professional company in California called Viva Brazil. And then she moved to Salvador, Brazil, where she met her husband, and she danced professionally there and studied. So she came in and she did the Afro-Brazilian piece, and I did the Haitian piece, and I did the first piece, which is called Crossing, and it shows the movement of the slaves out of West Africa into the Caribbean and into South America.
Melanie, I'm in the audience taking this spring dance in. What am I going to see in terms of just the overarch of the performance?
You're going to see sort of an introduction to the African ancestors through a drum call and through spoken word. You're going to see a dance that was choreographed by Sharon Price that is based in West African movement, sort of, again, as a celebration, the beginning point. Then you'll see a transition from free Africans to Africans who have become enslaved in the piece Crossing that was choreographed by Dr. Gwynn, which then leads us from Africa through the Caribbean to Brazil and South America, stopping at each place, focusing on dance that comes out of resistance to slavery, dances that are strongly rooted in Africanness. You'll see John Canoe from Jamaica, which includes several characters that are dressed in masks. The dance is often performed in a parade format, again, very celebratory. You'll also see Brazilian representation of capoeira, of samba, and some introductory piece called Avenida, where there's a clearing of the space for that sort of ceremonial dance. The Haitian piece is based in voodoo ritual and eventually will end back in Africa with a West African piece. also, again, choreographed by Sharon Price, called Manjani. And that definitely is a dance of celebration. So it really goes full circle from Africa being captured in Africa and brought to different places in the world, Caribbean and America, and then back full circle to Africa.
Well, I mean, this is a whole lot of information to be absorbing. Walk me through a day in the life of a dancer at A&T. I mean, this is pretty intense stuff.
It's very challenging, but also very rewarding. I have classes with Dr. Gwynn in the mornings. We go at about 9 o'clock in the morning with the denim technique classes. And then I go to ethnography to prepare for our Jamaica trip this summer. We're going to study abroad for about 4 or 5 weeks. And then I go to Melanie's class in the afternoon, and that's for our Blacks and Western, to kind of give us a little bit of background of African Americans and dance throughout our society in the U.S. And then in the evenings, I prepare for our rehearsals, which go for about 2 to 3 hours, and that's where we review the dances.
Then you were a dancing major?
I am. I'm a dance major as well as a PR major, so I do have other classes in addition to that.
Goodness. And will this be the first time abroad for you?
Yes, this is my first opportunity to study abroad, and I'm very excited about it. I'm the youngest in our group to go, but I'm still getting everything together, getting my money and my passport and all that stuff prepared, so that way I'll have the best experience possible. And our ethnography class does give us the tools that we need to study abroad, as far as the studying techniques, as far as the research and conducting interviews, which we'll get to do once we get to Jamaica.
So what do you hope the audience takes away from this presentation, Dr. Gwynn?
Well, it's very emotional for us as performers and as teachers, because we want people to understand that a smiling face does not necessarily mean a lack or a void of pain and suffering behind it.
That smiling face up on stage, the
dancers. That smiling face on stage is a performance. You see it in South Africa with the gumboot dance, when they've come out of the mines with mud and water and boots, but because the overseer says you have to dance, then they dance and they have to give 100%. But they've been down in those mines, sometimes chained to hooks and things to keep them in one spot. I want the audience to know that this is a real cultural experience. While it is entertainment, it is also education. And I hope nobody walks away thinking that it's only about the smiling face. But it is about how that face came about. Why are they smiling? Why are they able to overcome and survive in the midst of everything that they've been through? And I think it says a lot about our culture as African Americans, as Africans of African descent, of Caribbean descent, South American descent, that we have a way of coming through these things with music and dance, and that is why we survive.
My thanks to E. Gwynn Dancers of North Carolina A&T State University founding artistic director, Dr. Eleanor Gwynn, A&T dance professor Melanie Dalton, and dance student Tristan Bailey. Spring Dance 2012 is Saturday night, March 31st at 7:30 in Harrison Auditorium. You'll find ticket information and more at wfdd.org/triadart. This is Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford, and when we come back from the short break, we'll do the Robert Bly thing. Remember him? We'll bang on a drum. Percussionist extraordinaire John Beck will be selecting our beater and keeping great time for us during the Day of Percussion, next when Triad Arts Weekend continues. Welcome back to Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford. The North Carolina Percussive Arts Society Day of Percussion rolls into the Triad on Saturday, March 31st, with clinics and performances all day long. The Day of Percussion culminates with the final concert at 7:30 in Watson Hall on the University of North Carolina School of the Arts campus. Outstanding college and high school percussion ensembles from across the state, acclaimed soloists, and Philidor Percussion Group with Chris Keaton will perform a wide variety of music, and world-class clinicians will cover a broad spectrum of topics. You'll find links to ticket information and more on our website, wfdd.org/triadarts. President-elect of the Percussive Arts Society, chamber and orchestral music performer, and UNCSA and Wake Forest University instructor John Beck dropped by WFDD to talk about it. So, John, Percussive Arts Society, Big group. Tell me about it. What is it?
It's our professional music organization. It was started in 1960 in the Midwest Band and Orchestra Clinic by a group of 14 percussionists who were frustrated that there were no percussion specialty programs. Very few universities had percussion teachers, and they decided that they would form their own group to move percussion education forward. And it's grown. This is our 50th anniversary year, and we have 7,000 members now.
They did their job. It seems like today, lots of avenues for percussion in terms of education.
Absolutely. In the 1960s, it was pretty much orchestrally based, bands and orchestras. It's grown to world music, steel drums, marimba specialists, jazz vibes, drum set. It just covers the spectrum. Anything you can hit, strike, shake, or rub is a percussion instrument, so we really run the spectrum.
Is this something you can grab and just immediately you get results?
Well, that's the fun thing, is anybody can make a sound on a percussion instrument. It takes years of study to make a great artistic sound, but there's an immediate connection with the instrument, and that's why it's so easy to connect with people using drums and percussion. Healthfield is full of drum circles and groups that are using drums for healing. It's just a wonderful avenue that we're just now beginning to understand.
I want to go to the other end of the spectrum before we dive into this day of percussion. Could you go to the discipline, the technique involved, and just, I use the triangle as an example because that's an instrument that most people are familiar with. What all is involved in playing it the right way in an orchestral setting, say?
Well, we have all different kinds of triangles. Each one makes its own unique sound, and the set of overtones is unique to each. So what we do is try to select a beater, a metal rod, and the right spot in the triangle to activate the right set of overtones. If you hit it on the side, you get a very pure tone. And if you hit it at a 45-degree angle, you can excite all kinds of overtones by the way the instrument's vibrating. So that's what we search for in that one simple note, is the biggest spectrum of overtones we can get.
Yeah. See, I just love stuff like that. I'm sure it's the same for the snare drum and the bass drum. Where do you hit it? What kind of beat did you choose? What part of the drum do you hit?
In an orchestra, we have lots of time to sit and think while we're counting rests, and that's what we think about. How can I make the very best sound in those few notes that I have? Getting my students involved in the resources of PAS is a very valuable part of my teaching. So they're all members, and they all search our databases. We've got 50 years of publications that they can search through on articles and research. And there's a whole social network involved as well, you know, an online e-community that you can ask an expert a question, post something online, and you get all kinds of responses.
Oh, that's perfect. The Day of Percussion, it's got sort of a microcosm of that in terms of all that you're offering. Could you get into some specifics, the masterclass scenario or the performances? There's lots and lots going on throughout the day.
Well, this year we're taking advantage of having two guest artists in the state. They're doing a percussion festival at UNC Pembroke, where our state chapter president, Tracy Wiggins, teaches. And so they're going to come up here the next day, Ben Toth and Eugene Kuczynski, and they have a duo that they're traveling around with. They're currently on tour. Tony Artemisi is a drum set specialist from Winston-Salem State. Colin Tribby, another local guy, he's going to bring his West African drumming group from Paisley Middle School. Scott Pollard plays with the North Carolina Symphony, also was with Buffalo and the Ataka Percussion Group. He is going to do an accessories percussion clinic, triangles, cymbals, tambourine, all the little stuff that we talked about. And then the evening concert is going to conclude with a tribute performance to the oldest teacher in the state who just retired from UNC at Chapel Hill. That's Lynn Glassick. He's a composer and a percussionist. And Nathan Daughtry, the percussion teacher at High Point University in Greensboro native, is going to conduct his world premiere of a percussion ensemble that he dedicated to Lynn. Now, Lynn's been involved in PAS for a long time, and we'd like to pay tribute to our elder statesman, if you will.
Sure. And I guess if we could just briefly speak to the quality of these different performers and educators, because, for example, I know Tony Artemisi was a successful session drummer in Nashville for years before coming here. I mean, phenomenal drum set performer.
Absolutely. He brings a wealth of experience in the pop and gospel world. He's also composed a piece based on the text from the Earl King. And so he's got a performance art piece for spoken word and drum set that he's going to be presenting, in addition to some fundamental things on drum set.
And Colin Tribby, a good example of how percussion and education in schools now, it's a really integral part of it. When I was a kid, that was not the case. It's really come a long ways.
Colin is a classical percussionist who has degrees from both UNCSA and the Eastman School of Music, and he also studied some at Juilliard. When he came back to the area and got involved in public school teaching, he brought West African music to East Don Elementary and got a community drumming group started there. The kids loved it. He's now at the middle school level, and he's reached out to a whole group of kids that were interested in band but have a much better connection with drumming. It's a more popular music style. And he's had the group play at arts festivals. He does wonderful work with them. And the kids almost take over the group. They all know the stories behind the songs and dances. And Colin's just a part of the group. He teaches them, but when they play, the kids are really the show.
Yeah, Colin has a unique gift. I remember when I first moved to Winston-Salem, I managed the youth orchestras, and he would be a clinician for sectionals. And the kids, you could see it in their eyes. You can't fake that kind of connection he had with the kids.
Yeah, he genuinely loves that connection, and drumming is an easy way to make it.
Percussion ensemble, I mean, it can vary, right? Obviously, the instrumentation depending on the piece, but are there standard elements of a percussion ensemble, things that have to be in place for it to be an official ensemble?
Not really. Uh-huh. Anything with a collection of percussion or percussion instruments and other instruments are part of the percussion ensemble. The uh-huh. ensemble coming from High Point University is playing a piece with saxophone and percussion uh-huh. orchestra. We'll have ensembles that play kind of a traditional melody, marimba, vibraphone, bells, chimes, and percussion accompaniment. That style, we have a group playing Frank Zappa's Black Page from Appalachian State, and it really runs the spectrum. A group playing a piece based on Steve Reich's clapping music.
Oh, great. That's a tough piece to play.
It is.
You've got ensembles coming from all over the state.
We send out invitations to everybody, and you know, obviously with state funding the way it is, we're really pleased that we can have groups from East Carolina, Western Carolina, App State, Fayetteville State, UNC Pembroke. UNCG is coming. Unfortunately, my group can't play because they're going to be busy moving instruments all day back and forth between all these concerts and clinics.
Percussive Arts Society president-elect, soloist, clinician, and educator John Beck. The North Carolina Percussive Arts Society Day of Percussion comes to the University of North Carolina School of the Arts campus on Saturday, March 31st. It'll begin with a 9 a.m. concert by the East Carolina University Percussion Ensemble in Watson Hall, and it culminates there with a final concert at 7:30 by Philidor Percussion Group, a world premiere and more. The entire day is free for PAS members, $5 for students, and parents accompanying their child get in for free. You'll find links with more information at wfdd.org/triadarts. That's all for today's edition of Triad Arts Weekend. You'll find podcasts of this program on our website, wfdd.org/triadarts. Please send your questions, comments, and suggestions to triadarts@wfu.edu. I'm David Ford. Thanks for listening to Triad Arts Weekend.